signals and words work together.
I'm grateful to be in your presence here today, Lord. And Father, we thank you for all that you've done thus far. We pray, dear God, that you will speak to our hearts and minister to our spirits by your word. I pray, dear God, that we will be mindful of the things that we've heard and that we have seen, and that you will use it to your glory. Lord, help me to decrease, that you would increase, Father. I need you to guide me through this lesson, Father. I need you to speak through me on behalf of your will and your purpose, oh God. Lord, not me. Let me decrease and you increase, Father. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you for every confirmation, everything that is spoken and said in these minutes. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to have you stand because I need to talk to you for a few moments. But were most of you here for Sister Dawn's lesson?
Yeah.
About being, and I won't say it was about one specific thing, but the thing that God hooked me on and something he had been speaking to me prior to that was being willing and obedient. And we got to hear someone's journey through their walk with God about being willing and obedient. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't think you can be one without the other.
Right.
Maybe not. You have to be willing and obedient. And the thing that God really is wanting me to convey to you this day, and the title of this lesson is that very thing, to be willing and obedient to what God is asking us to do. And why is that important? Because someone else's eternity depends on it.
Amen.
Someone else's eternity is depending upon your obedience and your willingness to do what God tells you. You know, sometimes I feel things in the spirit. I don't know where it comes from. And one of the things is this. It's like, how can I say this? We don't really clearly understand the impact of doing things together. Sometimes we got to be pushed, but this thing about being willing and obedient is really necessary because it will determine how far we go into revival, how long that we remain there, how long that is sustained because of our willingness and our obedience. One of the things that God has dealt with my heart about, and I am so grateful. I don't even know where it started, Sister Jane and Pastor Marquise, about the modules that we're doing right now, where we're dealing with more than what we struggle with, but now 30 days where God has us focusing on just one thing. Has anybody not benefited from it? Is everybody doing it? Everybody? Everybody's not doing it. That's the willingness part. That's the obedience part. I want you to ask yourself, whenever you find yourself, I can't say it, we don't command you to do things, but we're not suggesting either. When Sister Jay came up here and began to tell us about the things that need to be changed as far as the housekeeping in the church, she wasn't commanding you, but she wasn't asking for your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings, or any of that. It was something necessary so that we can keep each other accountable. It's the same thing with the 30 days, because we're being kept accountable to each other, because you will succeed if you're accountable to somebody.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. Whenever I'm not accountable to my wife, I've listened to some of your testimonies. I really have. And I've heard where there's times, I remember when Pastor Marquise and Sister Jane, when they first started out, God literally gave them a budget and they walked in that, and that's why they can sustain where they are now. But if you don't understand how the importance of a budget, when you get to higher amounts of money, you're going to be just as wasteful as you were when you had nothing. There's something about listening. There's something about doing what's necessary. And I keep finding, I can't explain to you. It's like a feeling of what you just said fell on deaf ears. Oh. The testimony didn't really mean much because I'm not going to do it anyway. That's what I'm talking about. It's just something that's subtle in the spirit. You can feel it when everybody's on board. Because the same time, this past previous service, when God's Spirit was moving, the Lord said, look around. And I looked around and everybody had come and was praying and ministering to someone in this body. I haven't seen that in I don't know how long, if ever. And I was like, how did he do that? I know that God moves by his Spirit, but you have to be willing and obedient. And, you know, it changes your testimony.
Yeah.
Before God.
Amen.
If you're willing and obedient. I can tell you times when I was willing, but not obedient. Because what I heard, I didn't want to do. And that's the part God wants to deal with. We have to be. I've been asked recently, what do you think makes people willing? For some, I've heard Pastor Marquis say this, and I haven't heard a lot of your testimonies, but I heard him say that he was just, out of all the billions of people in the world, that God chose me. That's a good reason. I hope when today's over, we all have a why.
Amen.
Why you should be willing. Is it gratitude? Mine's is gratitude. I'm grateful because, see, when I was growing up, and I don't know what, I've allowed certain things that have happened in my life to define me. So when people gave up on me, that was a definition. Like, if I can just find someone that would not give up on me, I'm going to follow them. And so when Jesus Christ came into my life, he didn't give up on me. He saw the flaws, he saw the shortcomings, but he never has given up on me. So therefore, I follow him.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
My reasoning. But you need to find your why. Why are you here? If you're going to be disobedient. Why waste your time? There's so many other places you could be.
Preach, amen.
Why play around with God? Because see, when we're all moving together, we're a powerful force that can make the world. You don't know how powerful you are, but you see the thing that's different about it is you can't pull against that which is going forward. God, oh man.
Preach.
You know, we were in a church one time and God showed me the way that he was working in the church. He said that people are in positions or in places mentally, in their minds and in their hearts, and they're sitting there and they're waiting for the man at the pulpit to speak to them and to bring them out. But if you resist that, that's where you'll stay.
Oh.
You can't resist the pulling of the Spirit. That's why it's called a pulpit. It's pulling you out of your pit so that you can be different. But if you resist that, you're not just denying the church the ability to be used by God, but you're denying yourself from coming out of your darkness. And if you don't understand, if you don't believe you're in darkness, why else would God have to pull you out? Why else would you have the continual preaching? Why else would you have the continued ministering of his Spirit? Because he's trying to pull you out of something that you don't even know you're aware of. I don't always see my own darkness. That's why I'm so grateful for the body. See, in a family, and in your natural family at home, people are not looking for your darkness because they're in the same thing, in the same boat. I still remember the days when my family and I, we used to go out to party nightclubs together, all of us. And I still remember the day when I was out there and my brother's girlfriend who had gone through a Bible study with me, we were standing in the midst of a nightclub. The music was playing and it felt like it was muffled. We couldn't hear it. All we could hear was each other. And as we were talking, we were asking, God was speaking to us, and he was asking us the question, why are you still here? Why are you still here? Why are you in this nightclub? Even though your family's here, you see, sometimes we can be so enmeshed with our families that
yes.
we can't be set free
yes,
from them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And God didn't call them, he called you.
Yes,
and you might be the one that brings them out.
Yes, right.
You need to see that for what it is.
Yes.
God calls one at a time. Sometimes a whole family will come. But that's not what's important. How are you walking in your calling? Because that first calling is calling you out of darkness into his light. And he's calling you forward, and it gets difficult. You still can go to your God because he's not going to abandon you in that position.
Right.
He wants you to come into agreement with him. And if you can't agree, don't be afraid. As I was saying earlier, I was mad at God. I was angry. But if she hadn't been angry, that was real. That was your truth. That was your moment. But it also defined what happened next. She got the right answer. She didn't say, well, I'm so mad I'm not going to talk to you anymore. How long would that have lasted? Because he knows how to stir up your nest. He knows how to correct your mess. He knows how to stir things up so that you'll go back crying, all right? But I'm so grateful that she was so honest. Thank you. I was saying this the other day. I was just saying this the other day. This church is so honest. It's like, dang. I said, whoa. I can't believe how honest. And that, and I took that with me. I was preaching in another man's pulpit, and he said, and later on after I finished preaching, he came up to me and said, brother, I would never say what you said in that pulpit. And I was like, I don't know where I got that from. So like, I came back home. I'm like, oh, it's you people. It's your fault. Because that honesty and that transparency and that where I can't go and be something different out there.
Amen.
It's your fault. So it's, say it's your fault. Say it. I want you to admit it. It's our fault. We made you. Because it's so important that transparency is not something that I was used to. But when I got here, you can't survive here without being transparent. You can pretend, you can go someplace else, but you're going to miss something, and that's what you're missing is the truth. You got to know the truth. So what makes people willing to do what God says yes to? One of the things that you'll learn is if you're not willing, you have an agenda.
Good
you have
word.
Something you want to do.
Good word.
Love more than you love God. And I'm not afraid to tell you, you love that thing more than you love God, and you just don't see it that way. I hope you understand that if you cannot be willing, that means you love your reputation more than you love God. You love how you appear to other people more than you love God. You love that thing, and see, if until you become honest with yourself and say, I love that thing, God, more than I love you, otherwise he can't change your love.
Yes, right.
He can't transform your love to be different. He can't show you something different until you admit the truth.
Yes, right.
I'm afraid when people won't tell the truth about how they feel about God. He knows when you're pretending. But he also knows when you're trying.
Yes.
He knows when you're there and you're reaching out to him with all that's in you because that's all you know.
Yes.
That's literally all you know. And you have to be willing in those moments to trust God. He's trying to teach you to trust him.
Amen.
And the only way he can do that is say, come here. Try this. By his spirit, he'll usher you into someone's presence and say, you'll start hearing things in his spirit. And he'll tell you to say them. He'll tell you to pray for someone. There was one time I walked into a church service, walked in the back of the church service, and I don't know why I said it. I said, Lord, if you want me to pray, because everybody in the congregation was up front praying for one person. I said, God, if you want me to go up there, you have to tell me what we're praying for. And thinking that he's not going to tell me. So I wouldn't have to go. He said, they're praying for cancer, and you go up there and join them. There's been times, and I'm telling you these things because when you have God's spirit, there are similarities, there's things that you'll feel in the spirit, and God's just ushering you into a closer relationship with him. I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone, but there was a young lady up here, and I went near her, and God was showing me, he said, I've been talking to her. And that's why God does this. I'm going to say it like this way. I'm going to be a little policeman. I'm going to come stand next to you, and I'm going to say, you're out of order. God wants you to do this, and when you do that, he's going to bless you, and then I'm going to walk away. Because if you're not being obedient, you're hindering
yes.
the service. Everybody say with me,
I
can hinder
can
a whole service by my disobedience.
Disobedience.
There was a brother that I know, his name, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he was in a service, and he went to a church service where they did not worship God in the way that we do. And he says, Lord, he's sitting there, he says, Lord, they don't run around the church like we do at our place. But he sat there in that congregation, and he was hindering a move of God. And see, your obedience, no matter where you're at, will affect everybody else. So he's sitting in the service, and the Lord said, I want you to run. He said, Lord, they don't run here. He said, I didn't ask you, did they run here?
That's right.
I told you to run here. So he gets up, and he starts running. And he's like, what am I hearing? And he's hearing this clink, 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 clink. He said, the Lord said, those are chains falling off of people. Those are chains, literally, spiritual chains falling off of people so they are being set free because of your obedience. And you can't see what God can do until you're obedient. You have to do it. You have to walk in it. It may be uncomfortable, but he was uncomfortable for us. He put it up on the cross for us. He was stripped naked for us. What's going to make you willing? What's going to make you willing to say, he's all I have? Because you're going to, whether or not you know this, in your life, you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. But I'd rather go through those ups and downs with Christ than alone. I don't care how hard it gets here. I would rather go through those things with God than without him. Because he is truly a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No woman and no man can ever fill that position. They can't fulfill you like that. Only your God can do that. And get that in your, they say, oh, they get it in your crawl. Get it in your heart. There's no one ever going to fulfill that other than God. And when you know that, when something comes in as a substitute to take you or to draw you away from God, you'll see it as a substitute. But if you've not relied upon God the way you need to, you'll say, you'll embrace something new. You'll embrace something different.
That's right. That's right.
And you're not going to be willing
right.
when he calls you.
That's right.
He hasn't called you to sit. He has called you to work in his kingdom.
Amen.
But it's through small things.
Yeah.
I was so grateful for the journey that Sister Dawn took us on. And the one that stayed out of my mind was when she said that she went and asked one of the persons, are you called to teach? And he said, yes. But that wasn't his first response. I won't go into that. But when you think about it, don't we all do that? In some way, shape, or form, we have an alternative. We have a different way. We have another suggestion. And see, when Sister, excuse me, I'm running out of breath. It's not because of age either. When Sister Jordan said, that's my truth, I wanted to say, no, that's not your truth. That's your flesh. Sometimes you have to understand that. Don't mask anything that you do. Don't call it something different, because if you call it something different, you're going to be lying to yourself. When you don't want to do what God is telling you to do or what is right, that is your flesh. Call it like you see it, please. Call it exactly like you see it. It's my flesh that doesn't want to help someone. It's my flesh that doesn't want to witness. It's my flesh. And when you identify the flesh, then you'll understand that you need to crucify it, because it's speaking louder than God's spirit. His voice, what I've learned is every spirit has a voice. Every spirit. Every spirit wants to talk to you. Every spirit wants to convince you to do something other than what's right or what's true. Every spirit has a voice. But what makes you willing to be obedient to the will of God? We talked about and the sacrifice that we realized that he came and he died. And it wasn't, as some people teach, another man, but it was God robed in flesh. God manifested in flesh. He did not send his son. I know a man that will not come to this church, but he believes that we believe that. I said, why won't you come? He just lives down the street. He said, I couldn't serve a God who would send his son. I said, he doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know the truth. So be careful what you call your truth, because it can deceive you. If you'll turn with me in your Bible, Exodus 35, I'm just going to go right to that scripture. Exodus 35, verse 5. You don't have to stand or anything. I just want you to follow along with me if you have your Bibles or your smartphones or whatever device you choose to use. Because God is wanting, and I hope that as you read through these passages, that you'll begin to see a pattern, is that God is just looking not for the smartest, the brightest, the most talented, but he's looking for people who are willing.
Amen.
Yeah? Can everybody say amen with me?
Amen.
Take you therefore among you an offering. And I thought it was appropriate that Pastor Marquis spent some time on talking about an offering and the evidence of what he was seeing. He wasn't saying that as a rebuke, but as a correction, because if we find ourselves and we're in lack, it is really not the will of God for us to be in lack. To know that's not enough, but you have to be willing to change so that you reflect what God is teaching us. Amen? Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Where do our offerings go?
To the Lord.
Thank you. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, and an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, brass. I just read that scripture just to get you to understand that God does want us to give to him. Not just of ourselves, but of what we have, what we own, what we possess. Our time as well. But you have to understand, he doesn't want you to give it grudgingly. He doesn't want to have to, oh man, if I my wife this morning asked me, she said, Eric, would you water my plants as she's going to the store? Like a little kid, I'm like, man, why can't they be watered when she gets back? Water her plants? They're her plants. I feed her dog. And she has a metal dog that she bought on the trip we went to. And I got a little bowl for them to eat and drink from. So I didn't think none of it. I fed them. They got what they need. But water your plants, not a big deal. But I did not know that through that exercise, God was going to speak to me. Isn't it great? It's like when you're willing, you don't know what God's about to do. So I said, okay, I got the little jug. I filled it up. I go, I start watering. I said, why is this going to take so much water? He says, because there's fruit growing on it. I said, oh, okay. Fruit growing on it. Yeah, I understand. But you're not done yet, are you? You're talking to me now, so I know you got more to say. If something's growing, and it takes more water. What is like water in the Word? What's the Word? The Word is like water to us. And you think about that. When we're about to go, you're going to need more of the Word in you.
That's right.
Why? Because everybody has something to say that counteracts or contradicts the Word of God. Wait till you get out there. I said that wrong. Don't wait till you get out there and have to encounter foolishness. Don't wait till you get out there and have to encounter somebody who says, well, I believe in crystals. What? Crystals? An inanimate object. Something that cannot speak to you. But I've walked into apartments and you feel like you're going through a shrine of dead bodies. Not of bodies, but of pictures of dead saints and all this. Oh, there are so many crazy things. And what I'm saying to you, you have to be solidly grounded in the Word of God so that you don't fall prey to those different strange doctrines and teachings. Because it's going to break your heart when you lose someone to it. If it takes that, that's what will happen. Because I remember going to someone's house and this young man used to come, yeah, still comes here, but he's in Alabama right now. Daniel was standing with me, and it was such a beautiful thing. We were talking about prayer, and we called somebody up to pray with us, and we were getting ready to pray, and then before the conversation was done, this man that I invited in that little prayer session, the three of us, he said, have you guys ever heard of Raka? I said, Raka what? I heard of the Holy Ghost. I heard of being baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with his spirit. But Raka? Why do you need anything else other than God? And his spirit. And so I started asking some of the saints. I said, have you ever heard of Raka? And said, yeah, witchcraft. Witchcraft? Really? Witchcraft. Okay, what I understand about witchcraft is very little, but what I do understand is opposite of what God has for us. It's going out and trying to obtain things that you would not get had God not given it to you. And it's giving yourself over to spirits that can rule over you at some point, can become the same things that torment you at some point, so that you can have some kind of power and some kind of ability that God gives freely. So, I started shielding this man. First, I got in between them. I said, this is not going to go any further than this right here. Because he's a new convert to me, and he's mine. You're not going to get his household number. You're not going to be calling him up when I'm not present. You're not. It's like, I said, where did this all come from? Because he's mine. He belongs to God, but I've been given to protect him. Yeah. and then that's what I'm going to do. I'm not afraid to say that now, because see, when there's a false doctrine, that person that was spewing out those lies and that other doctrine, those other gods, those other things, small g, when they start spewing that stuff out, young converts or people that are just new to the faith can fall prey to that. And you can't let that happen. But if you're like, I'm not going to be mean, I'm not going to be protective, I'm not going to allow the Holy Ghost to incite me right now and make me angry or be protective. Because sometimes what you feel in your heart, my nature is not confrontive or combative, but you put me in between truth and error. I change because the Holy Ghost changes in me. And you need to understand that you'll change, because when you start hearing something that's just not quite right, you'll stand up for that rather than you pull for a lie. Amen? And they came both, and then there's another scripture in verse 22 in that same passage, 35. It says, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. Okay, I want you to understand that willingness is in your heart. Willing to be molded by God. It says, both, and this is the time when they were going to walk in disobedience, but it says, but bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. You have to understand something. What we offer, we don't get back. It's not a layaway plan. It's not giving to get back. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you follow that. Amen. You're giving something to God so that it can be used in his kingdom, not so that you can have more on the back end. Your intentions and your motives are very important.
Amen.
Your intentions and your motives are important. Thank you, Sister Dawn, for when you said, it's your love, not God's love. I don't know if you remember that. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. When she said that, I was like, oh, that means I don't have to have some supernatural ability to love God? No, you love him with your love. And something that I've learned, I want you to try some. Stand up with me, would you? For a minute, if you can. Don't, not if you don't.
No.
Can you worship God?
Stop.
Okay. Now see, when you hear the word worship, what do you first think of? Is somebody looking at me? Is somebody glancing at me? Or is this worship? Because the Bible does say, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That's a form. But what's worship? What is worship to you? Is it me? You know, the first thing about worship is your willingness to get up. Is your willingness to see, I don't understand this, I don't know what he's asking of me, but I'm willing. That's what I'm talking to you about. Because sometimes there have been people I've known in the past, pastor, that were rolled from this end on the floor in a brand new suit. And the Lord was just showing them and says, oh, so you're humble enough to not be so overly concerned about how you look to other people, but you're more willing, you're willing to submit yourself to God. That is worship. You can be seated. Thank you for those that got up. You thought you were going to do some wild, crazy thing. Take off your high heels and run around the church. That comes later. But the whole thing is that you're all capable of being willing. It's just yielding to God's Spirit in any given moment, any given time, when he calls on you. In my immaturity, when I was a young Christian, there were things that God was doing in me that didn't look like everybody else's. And I'm telling you this so that when God comes to you in a very specific and unique way, don't think you're going to see it around you. Sometimes he'll have you speak something that you've never spoken before, but it's not because he wants your endorsement. He just wants you to be obedient. There was a time when a couple I knew, they were called to watch. And that meant for them to leave the church and be somewhere else, alone together. And I understand now that God was literally sanctifying them so that this church could be born.
That's right.
But he had to separate them because there's something about God. He doesn't like identical twins. He doesn't like you to look like somebody else. Because if he wanted you to be like someone else, he would give you the same fingerprint. Each of us has something different, something unique about us. So he is so creative, he can recreate rather than duplicate. So what he does when he births a church, he doesn't have to do it like everybody else's church was birthed. But as long as he got a hold of the person or the people that are involved in birthing that church, his will is being done.
Amen.
And I can't even tell you how, man, what it means when somebody walks in obedience, because none of you would be here. I've been through some things. I've been through death of loved ones. I've been through funerals of people in my own family. I've been through suicide attempts. I've been through divorces. I've been through some things, and the church has been there through all of them. All of them. They've never come up short. So you ought to thank God, because sometimes you're going to need a net to catch you. You're going to need something to support you that's greater than your ability, that's stronger than you are, that's bigger than you are, that transcends anything that you'll ever imagine. I'll never forget the day that God had me call Brother Justin, and I did not know, and I don't say this disrespectfully, that that was an anniversary date of a death in his family, someone that one of his parents had died, and the Lord literally told me, call him. And I called him because I was willing. I called him because I was going to be obedient, because I didn't know what it was all about. He doesn't give me every detail, but he wants to see if I'm willing and if I'm obedient. And I'm telling you, your willingness and your obedience will go much further than every sacrifice you make. Because someone in this church needs you to be all that you are. Everything that you're, not just part of it. All that you are. Otherwise, you're robbing the very people that's here to support you. They're here for you. They're here for you. Man. We all know who Solomon was. He was a king in the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Chronicles 28:9, it talks about Solomon. And it talks about that. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, but I also want you to hear it in the Amplified Version. It says, in verse 28:9, says, a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts. Everybody say it with me. The Lord
searches
all hearts. Because he knows what you have, not just what you have need of, but he already knows when you're going to be obedient or where you're going to resist his leading. And he will call you out. Please don't think that it's a person calling you out. It's God trying to call you out so that you can walk in obedience.
Amen, amen, amen.
Your obedience and your willingness is so important to this body. It's so vital. It's so important. Even when you don't know what God is doing, it's so important. It's so needed. I was standing in front of a congregation, and I was teaching about a subject, and then it just shifted in the spirit. I started talking about suicide. And the only encounters that I ever had about suicide at that time was a spirit of suicide that was on a young lady. I remember we were in a prayer room, and the Lord said, go pray for her. And I walked over, and I said, and I knew her. I said, oh, no, you're not going to kill yourself. And she looked at me like, and she just started weeping, because that was her determining that's what she wanted to do. So that's all I knew about. So I'm sharing this story about suicide, not knowing anything about it. And then as I'm sharing it, I didn't know why I was sharing it, but I'm talking about suicide as though I know. And God was just giving me things to say about that spirit, and what it tries to do is to isolate you and cause you to think that your situation is worse than anyone else's, and that it isolates you like any other spirit tries to do, so that it can dominate your thinking and cause you to choose things that are not of God. And it was so strong. And I kept talking about it, and when I talked about it at the end of my message, and it wasn't even part of it, but at the end, there was a sister that was, we used to have Sunday school across the street. One of the Sunday school teachers, her name was Sister Debbie, she came from across the street into the building, the sanctuary where I was teaching at, and she sat at the very back of the church. And as she's sitting there at the back of the church, she glances over, and there's a woman that was a stranger sitting right there. And Sister Debbie, God knew exactly what he was doing by bringing Sister Debbie there at that moment. Because when she sat next to that woman, it was her nature to hug people.
Amen.
It was her nature to say hello and embrace people. He didn't bring somebody that wouldn't care. He didn't bring somebody that just would walk past you. But he brought somebody that cared. And God knows your nature already. He knows what you will do in every situation already. So she sits next to this woman, and when the service was over, they stood up, and she says, "Can I give you a hug?" This is Sister Debbie asking the visitor. And she says, "Sure." And she says, and she had tears coming down, streaming down her face. She says, I'm glad, because today was a day I said, if someone, no one shows me any type of love, I'm going to take my life. So I'm telling you this so that you understand, it's not about you. Amen. When God is speaking to you.
Yes.
It's about His will and His plan, not you and your plan. That's when you put yourself aside and say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And you've got to practice that with me. Lord, say it with me. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. He's not looking at your resume. He didn't care when you sinned last. He didn't care where you were last night. In that moment, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Practice it. Because when you can put yourself aside, it becomes easier. As you practice it, as you practice submitting yourself and your will, I'm not saying to you to be callous and to think you can go out partying all night and you can hear God's voice. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when God calls you, He's already ready to qualify you for whatever He's called you to do. That's what I'm saying. If you are cognizant, or you will remember something that you've done that you felt that you've offended God in some way, shape, or form. If you've done that in some way, shape, or form, that's your time to repent.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Just repent. Say, "God, I'm sorry, but I'm still going to be obedient." What is going on? Okay. So don't disqualify yourself by your own words, by your own actions.
That's right.
It's not about you.
Right.
It's about His will.
Amen.
His will has to be greater.
Yes.
His purposes
Amen.
Have to be greater. His plans have to be greater.
That's right.
Than what we think of ourselves and about anybody else. "Oh, they won't accept me. Oh, I've never moved it. I've never operated in that spirit before." So what?
Mm-hmm.
The first time, no one did.
Right.
Come on. I remember the day I was sitting behind Pastor Marquise. And I watched him just watching this pastor just minister to people in the Holy Ghost. And I could feel, he was trying not to get up. I said, "Go do what you know you need to do." And he got up and he started laying hands on people. People started getting the Holy Ghost. He was watching people get the Holy Ghost, and God taught him how to pray for
That's
people.
That's right.
He was willing.
That's right.
Everybody say, "I'm willing."
I'm willing.
I'm asking you to say that even when you're not. I'm willing. Because in all things, God's going to teach you something.
Amen. Amen.
That's how He teaches you. He makes your nest uncomfortable, and He says, "Get out there and do it." I preached on the street once. It was the most uncomfortable thing I would ever do. I would ever do that again. Because they're mean out there. And they're nasty. And I'm scared of them. They don't smile. They don't say amen. I love you guys in here. It's so comfortable. You guys at least smile. But you stand on the street corner and you start preaching, people say, kill him, stone him, rock him. They don't throw stones, they use rocks. The landscaping downtown is mostly rocks. So they want to rock you. And I don't mean the song either. Anyway. Lord have mercy. It's a thing that you encounter in difficult places. And it's not going to always be pretty. Sister Risa in her youth, along with her other sister Valerie in their youth, walking down the street, and a man comes running full forward. Correct me when I get wrong about the story. I don't want to mess it up. He's running at them full forward.
Yeah.
Tell the rest of the story.
We were on our way to church, and he's right off of Colfax and Grant, and we were walking. And this guy comes out of the building, and he comes running straight forward to Brother Jack,
big guy,
who's the older guy. And when that happened, I kept on saying, because I was a new convert, I kept on saying, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." But every time I would say, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name," the guy would hit Brother Jack again or push him. And so we were just praying in tongues. And then Brother Jack, he was praying, and he said, the Lord told us just to keep on walking.
If you can imagine this, you're walking to church, and some man comes out of nowhere and hits your partner, your friend with you, and he gets knocked down, and you're saying, I rebuke you, not knowing the authority you have in him. I rebuke you, and he keeps punching him. The more you say it, he punches him more. That's not how that's supposed to work. So we're going to do something that ignorantly, right? And we never intend to harm anyone, but he was okay. He doesn't walk to church in the center no more. Very chivalrous. I don't know why I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there.
He was okay.
Yeah, he was. He came to church the next day, and he was just fine. You were. The things that happen to us when we serve the living God, because he's real, and he's not afraid. I want you to know something too. In your spirit, you're not afraid. If you ever feel fear, it's in your flesh.
That's right.
So when you feel any kind of fear, everybody say, it's my flesh, not my spirit. Because your spirit is bold. Because it came from God. And God has no fear in him. Perfect love casts out all fear. He has no fear in him. None whatsoever. So here's Solomon. In the King James Version, it says, perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If you forsake him, this is the things that were told to Solomon, he will cast thee off forever. We live in grace. That's why you should thank God for grace. That's the Old Testament saying that he will cast you off forever. So don't walk out here and say, Brother Murray said, if I do something wrong, God's going to cast me off forever. We're in a dispensation, which is a period of time of grace. That's all he needs is your willingness and your obedience. I hope that you have that picture in your mind. Now, Jesus with his disciples in the garden, he asked them to wait or to pray with him for an hour. And then he rebukes them. But in verse 41, this is Matthew 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit, he's telling us about our spirit again. The spirit is indeed willing. Your spirit is always willing to obey God.
Wow.
Your spirit is always ready to respond because spirit speaking to spirit is always ready. When he looks at the giant's not too big because spirits don't get scared. When you feel fear, it's because you're in your flesh. And that's why it says, do it in your spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That you would not fulfill the lust of the flesh and run.
That's right.
I'm thinking the last time I ran from something. Gotta think about that one. Man, I've done some running. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is subject to outside influences. The flesh is subject to other spirits. So when you fail because you were subject to a spirit, all you have to do is fast and strengthen your spirit and read the Word of God to strengthen your spirit. There are things you can do to strengthen your spirit so that you make your resolve to, I'm going to walk in the willingness and obedience to God and not to my flesh. Willing, being willing, everybody say willing,
willing.
And obedient. Praise God. I'm going to read Matthew 26. In the Amplified Version, real quickly to you. Thank you, Jesus. I struggle with sometimes coming behind someone else who's taught a great lesson. But we have to understand that whatever we contribute to the body is for the body. It's not a competition. I love hearing other people teach in this church. I really do. And I glean a lot from it. I love the testimonies that come behind them. I love how that God begins to minister to us. And he never let me forget that word, willingness. Because, you see, one of the things that God is teaching me through the 30 day is to be honest. And the scripture that he brought to my mind was, speak the truth in love. And I'm thinking that I'm gonna be performing, we're doing the whole thing. Yes, I can speak the truth in love. Yes, I can. And he said, no, you can break that down. And you start with speaking just the truth. And I never thought about it, Pastor, but sometimes speaking the truth starts in your own home. And then it goes out from there. And speaking the truth, forgive me for my ignorance, I didn't realize that sometimes he tells me the truth about some of you. And that's when I couple it with love. He says, speak the truth in love. If I withhold what God tells me about you, it's not like he's tattletelling on you. He's trying to put you between a buffer and him. He's trying to change your direction. It's like, you know, some parents are more stern than the others. You know, like a bad cop, good cop kind of thing. Somebody's not going to be as hard on you as the other. I'll be kind. Until God shows me something different. Because he knows who to bring to you. He knows the question that needs to be asked. He knows what your mindset is. He knows what you've been through. There have been people in this church or that visited this church that God said, I don't want you to speak to that woman or that man. Even though he's revealed something to me, he said, I do not want you to speak to that person because the person who hurt them was a man. That's how, I'm trying to tell you how not delicate, but just how significant God's, what he says to you is so important that you follow his instructions. Because when that thing's turned around, you will be able to say what needs to be said. Or you'll be able to pray when the time comes to pray. But in his timing, not in your will. Amen. Amen. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. God has given us safeguards to walk in his obedience. And that's just simply praying. It's just simply praying and asking. Ask. He's not afraid to tell you the truth. He's not afraid of you. He doesn't care if you get mad. Because your frustration is an emotion. And it's you in that moment. But he says he knows you'll get better. You'll get over it. You'll walk differently. Man. So if he knows that much about us, why can't we know that about each other? Sometimes I'm going to offend you. Thank you. I love you. Sometimes I'm going to offend you. And it's not intended, but if it offends you, please pray for me. Because you're not the only one I talk to. I might go around offending everybody. You know, just saying the wrong thing, being all out of order. But I have a coach and a pastor. And I don't know why he does this. And he doesn't know. He does not know. Don't tell him. That this intimidates me. When somebody comes up behind you and grabs the back of your neck like this. I was like, if I did it to Stephanie right now, I'm not going to do it to you, Stephanie. Don't worry. I was going to be like, I'll show you who Papa is. He grabbed me by the neck. I'm like, what did I do wrong? And see, growing up, he doesn't know people picked on me. I never share all the stories with him. I had some man that was twice his size, and I don't know why he wanted me to use me as his tool, like a flop doll. He had me up off, when I'm standing here, I'm picturing in my mind him having me 3 feet, no, two, a foot off the ground. He lifts me up like that. Yeah. And my eyes get bigger when I get higher up, is it altitude maybe? I don't know what it is. My eyes are all big. And like, what's he gonna do to me? I'm always waiting to see what's my gonna do. I don't even fight back. What are you gonna do to me? What are you gonna do to me? I don't fight back. I don't know why I'm like that. Pray for me that I would learn to fight back. I see some of you, I'll be like doing something. I pull something when I do that. See, I just can't fight back. It's just not hitting me. But he would and just unknowingly they would play with me like I'm a little rag doll, and I weighed less than I did then, but even so, that was their way of kind of intimidating. So when the pastor comes to me, he grabs back my neck, I'm looking at him, I know it's you. I know you're not like them, but I'm feeling something quite way right now. He doesn't know when he triggers me. Most of you guys don't know. You gotta understand, we all have triggers. I don't care what it is. It's just like there's some little thing that someone did to you when you were younger, and it clicked. Woo! And he does it all. You don't have to stop, brother. It's my trigger, not yours. He loves people. He gets up close, and he hugs your neck. And I'm like, do you know where I'm at right now? I'm on the schoolyard, and little Billy is squeezing me, doing things to me that he ought not to be doing with the little kids. What did I ever do to deserve that kind of pressure and that kind of lifestyle? And I remember I ran track because I ran home every day. I ran home every day because I was being chased by somebody every day. And I was fast. I admit, I was really fast because it was fear. Fear made me run because I didn't want that green-eyed monster to get me. And he was green. I looked up at him green instantly and said, you have green teeth. Oh my God, he made a man. I saw his whole countenance. I didn't know I embarrassed him. I didn't know he was ashamed of his green teeth. And I don't know why he had green teeth. I don't know if it was the water he was drinking or what he was eating, but his teeth were green. I was like, you have green teeth. All foolishly, because I had to run every day after school after that. And that's how I became a track star. I was never first to the last race, but I was always second. I got a door right before he got there. And you know what? I really believe. I think he only chased me to his house. And his house was before mine, but I never looked back. I don't know how long that lasted. I was so glad when it was time to graduate and go to another school. It changes your life when you have triggers. Now you know. Watch, you'll come to the next time. I'm waiting for you, Pastor. We all have things that trigger us. We all have things that remind us. But let this be your testimony that when God moved upon me to do something, I was willing. Amen. I was obedient. Because when you have a testimony like that, you realize that, you know, God's not that hard to live for. He's not a slave master. He's not someone that is forcing you to do things. He's doing it out of love. Because when you step past your fears and you step past your resistance of God's spirit, he's ready to bless you on the other side of that. He's willing to do that. Let's all stand. I'm looking at the clock, right? The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, right? So if we already know he's not willing, part of someone perishing is them not knowing the truth. And you know the truth. So don't resist the leading of his spirit. Don't resist him. Jesus, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word with your people again. I pray, dear God, that you will not forget that the necessity of being willing, the necessity of being obedient to what thus saith the Lord. We have your spirit abiding in our tabernacle. We have your spirit abiding in our hearts and in our minds. And we know now, not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And sometimes the things that we say is going to bring somebody to a place of repentance so that they might know the living God. We've got to come to a place we are willing and obedient in every situation, every occasion, no matter where we're at. No matter if we don't understand what he's trying to get out of us. But just if we're willing and obedient, he'll bless you. He'll give you what you need in your seasons. Think about it. When you withhold, he can withhold. If he withholds, you have nothing. He's always ready and willing to bless you. But you have to be willing and obedient to his will. Again, we thank you, Father, for all that's been said and done. You said that you would uphold the words of your servant. And I pray, dear God, that which is needful, that it stay upon our minds and our hearts, that we would yield ourselves to your spirit and to your presence, and that we would understand as well that you were willing to go to the cross and you were obedient to death so that we might live in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Amen. You dismiss. You may greet one another if you need to pray. We're here for that as well. Jesus.
See that shirt here.